Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Excited about this teaching series because we are a praying people, and we can always pray with better understanding, with more faith, more insight. And this is an important topic. There are some who are viewing today who need to revive your prayer life, need to get into a more substantial prayer time with God, because prayer is a topic that not just we teach about, but we can practice. Not just hear about, but go do it. And so prayer is integral to our lives, our ministries, all that we touch, our businesses, everything is being impacted by our prayers. And thanks to our Circles of Prayer and Care, a group of believers who have been conducting online conference prayer calls for many years now, and I appreciate always their undergirding the ministry with prayer. So prayer will be our topic for the next several weeks. We're going to take what we have commonly called the Lord's Prayer, which is not, it's misnamed. We'll see why in a moment. But we're going to take this today, this first teaching today, and talk about your kingdom come, your will be done. Let's go to our first text, is Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're going there to Matthew chapter 6. These are, in fact, texts about the same prayer, but an emphasis is made in Luke that's not apparent or present in Matthew. But the disciples asked Jesus a question. In Luke 11, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" Well, this disciple observed Jesus' habit of prayer early in the morning. In fact, Jesus took prayer so seriously that he actually would send people away. He had a whole crowd of people ministering to them, but at some point, he actually sent people away, and he went to God alone to pray. That's how important prayer was to him. We have it backwards, right? Sometimes we let people crowd prayer out. We can't find time to pray for being with so many people all the time. But Jesus said to the people at a certain point, he sent them away. I'm sure it was polite, but he sent them away. He was done ministering to people, and now it's time to go minister to God and be ministered to by God. Well, they asked the question. Go now to Matthew chapter 6. Now, Luke also has the same teaching. We'll take Matthew's version here today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus said, "Now, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words." Verse 8. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors. Don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, when you say to people, "Let's pray the Lord's Prayer," they normally start with verse 10. Actually, they begin with verse 9. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Well, that's another religious problem. People love to put their labels on the scripture and not pay attention to the scripture itself. It's a common problem. People read into the Bible, want to put their stamp on the Bible, but not really read the Bible and do what the Bible says. Now, obviously, it's an instruction the Lord gave to his disciples. They asked a question, teach us to pray. And so he said to them, this is what you pray. Now, so the best way to think of this prayer is not even the disciples' prayer. Think of it as what we call the model prayer. Say the model prayer. It's the model prayer, the ideal prayer. And this is an important prayer because when I first learned about this myself, I was struggling to pray, you know, more than like 5 minutes, right? Get down and pray, Lord, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for this. Lord, give me this, give me that. My name is Jimmy. I take all you can give me. And I was done, you know. But this prayer model is an outline of how to pray and touching every area of your life, past, present, future. So we'll teach this over the course of the next several weeks and get into it and learn from it. Again, I know that we have knowledge here in this church, but as always, you know, faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. And even a prayer warrior sometimes need to hear a lesson on prayer to help stir up your prayer life. Amen. That's true, isn't it? Yeah. And so the Word of God has the effect of us bringing faith. You know, the faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word. And I believe that faith, even though we're praying people, our faith will rise even higher toward God in the area of prayer. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 6. Let's lay some foundation here. So the Apostle Paul wrote, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So being strong in the Lord and putting on the whole armor of God begins with prayer. All men of prayer, because we come down now to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18. Amplified Bible reads this way, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Amen. That's a good amplified translation of that text. And so that being strong in the Lord and the power of his might is going to include prayer at all times, on every occasion, in every season. Prayer is the one thing you can always do. You can always pray. You can pray anywhere, anytime. And if you cannot, you know, pray out loud to disturb people, you can pray, you can whisper a prayer to God. You can be prayerful in your heart. If you can't say words at all, be prayerful in your heart. It's an amazing thing. In prayer, we know it's connection to God, communication with God in a way that you just can't do unless you're walking with God. Prayer is one of those things. I mean, real prayer, that only a true follower of Christ can pray in a manner that touches God and God touches them back. Only prayer can do that. And of course, worship is part of prayer. Now, the text said all manner of prayer. Let's talk about this for a moment, touch on this, not teaching this, but touch on the different types of prayer. All manner of prayer. It's not just, now prayer, any prayer to God is a good prayer, y'all. You know, don't get caught up in, well, am I praying the right prayer? Just pray. Just pray to God, amen. Amen, pray to God. But understanding about prayer does help you be more specific and more faith-filled in your prayers. But it's prayers of supplication. That's when you have a specific request, a supplication, Lord, I'm asking this question and I need this or that. That's called supplication, specific. You're not just saying, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, just get right down to what you need. Ask a question, supplicate. Intercession is prayer for others. Now I have scriptures here You can read those. There are notes also in the online church. Get those notes. But Romans 8 talks about how the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Spirit himself knows the mind of God. Intercession, you cannot do it by yourself. You don't know enough to do it by yourself. If I asked you to pray for Mary Bahati. Who's Mary Bahati, you say? Well, God knows Mary Bahati. She's a lady who oversees the orphanage in Kenya. You know about her, don't you? But how could you pray for Mary Bahati and you don't know her or know her needs? If you pray through the Spirit of God, in the Spirit, in tongues even, the Spirit knows Mary Bahati and everything she needs. So when you pray, intercede in the Spirit, you can then pray for people you don't even know. Amen? And Paul said, I'll pray with understanding and I'll pray with the Spirit. You pray both ways. You pray based on what you know, and you pray to the Spirit because of what you don't know. Intercession is, we know, it's very strong and very powerful. The prayer of agreement is for the purposes of God. And Jesus taught that in Matthew. If two of you agree, ask concerning, right, that certain things can happen. And there are certain times when, again, praying alone is not sufficient. You want to pray in agreement with two or three. You can't pray in agreement with, well, you can, but it's difficult, with 10 or 12 people. Because, see, what you don't want to do is go into a room with a group of people, a Christian, say, hey, let's pray. Don't say, you can't say, let's agree in prayer, and then go right to praying. See, you can't do that. What are we agreeing on? What are we talking about here? See, I mean, a real serious prayer of agreement. That's why if someone asks me to pray in agreement, I'm like, oh, let's talk first. We can pray for things, but praying in agreement is a very serious matter, and it's for purpose. It's not for stuff, necessarily, although stuff's involved in the purpose of God, but we pray in agreement for the purposes of God, the will of God. All right. Again, types of prayer. Next is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a prayer of worship. It's worshiping and giving thanks to God. It's as it says, thanksgiving. The Bible has many references on that. You know, sometimes when you come to God, you don't supplicate, you don't ask for anything. You don't intercede for people at that moment. When you come to God, sometimes you don't do an agreement. You're just coming in to give thanks. It's just a prayer of Lord, just thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Right? Amen. I'm not Jimmy today, you know. I'm not Jimmy looking for all you can give me. I'm just here to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's what worship and song is a big part of that. It's just thank you. All right, that's the kind of prayer. Dedication is a type of prayer for consecration to purpose. Right, we laid hands on Minister Sean, laid hands on Deacon Ingram, laid hands on all the ministers here, and Deacon Gibson as well. So we dedicated them to the office that God had called them to. We dedicate children, dedicate, you know, when we conduct a marriage, a wedding is a dedication prayer. Dedication to the covenant of marriage. Then there's a prayer of faith. Isn't all a prayer of faith? Well, yes. But the prayer of faith, as the Bible teaches, is for healing and for spirit infilling, is for a certain thing God wants to do. It's the gift of faith goes along with it. Think about the gift of faith. That's different than just regular faith, so to speak, is we all have faith. We're going to rise up and be safe all day and be healthy all day and do good work all day. And we have faith. We're going to just, you know, walk and live a fruitful life. But the prayer of faith oftentimes comes when it's time to handle a crisis, life and death situations, critical situations, difficult things, things that need breakthrough, things that need you to get out beyond all your emotions and all your feelings. And the gift of faith is that. You see, the gift of faith is such that when the prayer of faith and gift of faith work together, you have no doubt. There is no doubt. It is supernatural, because ordinarily you'd be considering and weighing all the options and worried about this, that, and this person. But in the prayer of faith and in the spirit of faith, when the gift of faith come on you, you just go for what God said. That's all you see. Now, you may go through that season and pray and have faith and think later, what did I just do? I'm supposed to be afraid. I'm supposed to be worried about people. You know what I'm saying? But with the prayer of faith and the gift of faith, it's the power of God, the Holy Spirit, carrying you through that. It's good, isn't it? Now, let's talk about this, because Jesus said in the text, Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your room, pray to God in secret, and he'll reward you openly. Say reward.
Reward.
Let's talk about rewards for a moment. Reward. Reward of obedience and faithfulness. Now, it's been said that no one should be motivated by reward. You shouldn't want a reward. You shouldn't want that. And that virtue is its own reward. We've heard that, and that is true. The problem is, that goes against what Jesus said. He talked about rewards. We just read it. So how do we handle it? How do we reconcile this feeling we have? We shouldn't be motivated by rewards. We shouldn't want reward, and yet Jesus said, I want to reward you. And that he talked about in Matthew 5:12, talked about the reward of suffering, persecution for his name's sake, that your reward will be great in heaven. He said that. Suffer here, reward in heaven. He talked about in Matthew 10:42, whoever gives a cup of water to a little one in the name of a disciple would not lose his reward. He talked about in Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30, parable of the talents, talked about the rewards of the one who doubled his master's money. And talent was money, not singing and art, you know, it was money. That he risked and invested and doubled the investment that was made to him, and there was reward for that. So how do we reconcile this idea of reward? How should we think about rewards? Well, think of it like this. Here's a slide for that. The proper way. Now, the person who looks for reward from God and calculates that is due to him does not receive it. Right? So it's subtle. It's not that we aren't aware of reward. It's that we're not really looking for it. We're not adding everything up and telling God, you owe me. You owe me based on all I've done for you, all my giving, all my tithes, all my this, all my that. That's the spirit that is not rewarded. The fact is, reward comes. We are aware of that. And so then the person whose motive is love, the person who doesn't believe he deserves a reward, that's the one that receives it. You follow me? It's subtle, but it's a good point. Now, the Bible teaches God rewards us. But that's not to make us go add up how much God owes us. It's to motivate us to serve his purpose and walk in love and let whatever comes, let it come to you. Let it come. Say, let it come. Say, let it come, Lord. So God rewards his servants. But we don't have a mindset of doing things for the purpose of reward. We do it for love and because we are people of purpose. That clear? Amen. All right. Let's talk now about the prayer, the model prayer that Jesus taught. And we just read that earlier. There's two parts to this. The first three petitions, the first three parts of this prayer, the first three items he mentions, to hallow God's name, his kingdom come, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The first three petitions have to do with God and the purpose of God. Say God and his purpose. So that prayer starts out with a focus on God and his purpose. Lord, hallowed be your name. That sounds like worship, doesn't it? Sound like worship. So we never want to go into prayer time asking, I mean, don't go into prayer time like Jimmy. Don't start out like Jimmy. Go into prayer time worshiping God. Go into prayer time praying and asking and thanking him for his kingdom come, your will be done. That helps you to focus on God and his purpose. The second three parts of this, the second three petitions, have to do with our needs and our well-being. Daily bread for today, forgiveness, and deliverance from temptation and evil one. So the second half of that is about our needs and our well-being. So it's important to recognize the pattern, this very simple pattern. We start with God, we end with us. Amen? Say, start with God, end with me. Very clear, very plain. It is only when God is given his proper place that all other things fall into their proper places. In fact, if you can, read that with me. If you can see it on the screen, read that. It is only when God is given his proper place that all other things fall into their proper places. That's scripture, isn't it? That's truth. So prayer must never be an attempt to bend the will of God to our desires. Prayer should always be an attempt to submit our will to the will of God. And that's harder than it seems sometimes. Because sometimes people want stuff and want stuff and want their way and want their way, but it's not the will of God. Amen. They can't get it to their thick head. This is not God's will for you. But you keep asking for it, demanding it, and that's why we need to pray. Prayer helps to break down that selfish spirit, that carnal, childish spirit that's in all of us. Amen. You know, I mean, children are selfish by nature. We train them not to be. You know how it is. You train your children. We got grandkids now, and they're great kids. You know, there's always a lesson there that now that's not yours, that's hers. Give that to her. Give that to him. You know what I'm saying? It don't belong to you. Share this. You know, because the kids like, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. That's the immature child of spirit. That prayer keeps us away from that, even as adults. So then prayer is the attempt, it is the practice of submitting our will to God's will. Even Jesus, in the garden, knowing what he was facing, said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, right? We all have those moments. We all have those moments. And those moments, we succeed in those moments because of prayer. All that prayer that Jesus prayed all through his earthly ministry prepared him for the moment when he would take the cup that he could have refused. He could say nevertheless because he had trained his will to do God's will. Now, he was God's son, but he was still tempted now. Listen to me. He was tempted. It wasn't automatic. He had to go for it. He had to lean into God himself. So we all have the same challenge of letting our will bend to the will of God. And it's not as easy as it seems. We all know that too. Now, in all these petitions, we are taught to lay our present, our past, and our future before God. That's what he's saying there. Lay it before him. Your present, your past, and your future. Lay it all before God. Because this prayer doesn't only bring our whole life into the presence of God. Listen, it brings God's presence into our whole life. See, it's one thing to go to church, to sing along. It's one thing to present your life to the presence of God. It's actually something different to have God present his life to you. And that's different. It's different. It's a higher level where I'm not just going to church, saying amen, going along, sing along. I'm actually inviting God to bring his presence into my life. And that's a very disruptive thing. Because when God show up, you cannot stay the same. Amen.
That's right.
You can't stay the same. You know, listen, y'all, folks can go to church, they can sing along, clap their hands, say amen to the preacher, and not change.
Right.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen, preacher.
Uh-huh.
It don't change at all. But when the presence of God invades our lives, now that changes everything.
Amen.
It changes everything. And so we should invite that level of God's presence. Now, our first prayer topic, in fact, addresses that. Jesus said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, newer versions say, "Be done on earth." I like the King James that says, "Be done in earthen vessels." Not just on earth as around us, but in earth as within us. And let's talk about this now, because this is the first of those six topics. We'll take this one only today. It's just too much to cover beyond this for today. But Jesus said this. He spoke this about the kingdom. He said in Luke 17:21, he said, "Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Now that's something not heard of before Jesus said it. They were aware of it, you know, the Israel's kingdom and the Samaritans and the Babylonians and Syrians. Everybody had a kingdom. But Jesus is saying now, no, with this one, they're not going to say, look over here, look over there. They're going to say, he's saying the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God is present reality here and now. And the kingdom of God is a great subject, great topic. It's the kingdom of God has always existed in the earth. The kingdom of God is bigger than Israel, bigger than the church. See, we all reside inside the kingdom. Amen. And so there's a sense where the kingdom of heaven covers everything. That's a different subject. But God's kingdom, see, he rules over all. He rules over all. But specifically, his kingdom as relates to God's presence and his spirit and his church and all the things we have learned, that kingdom is supposed to be within us by the Spirit of God. So then the kingdom of God, the kingdom is in the midst of us and within us. But watch this. But it does not come without submission to his will. Now, this is a very important point. The Lord showed me this a couple days ago. All right, then, Pastor, how can it be if the kingdom is within me, that means it's come, right? No, doesn't mean that. The kingdom in the midst of us or within us is one thing, but it doesn't come without submission to his will. I'll give you an example of that. I remember when I attended Ball State University, these many years ago. I considered taking French. I took French at Arlington High School. I did well in French. Got a good grade. I got an A in French. And I had French in me. Say he had French in him. I had French in me. And so I thought about taking French as a minor at Ball State. But I found something out. I found out that in the advanced French classes, everyone only spoke French all the time. Only French in the French class, the advanced class. Now, where I come from, we spoke English in the French class. Where I come from, we learned to speak French by speaking English. English word, French word, say that. We, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's all I know now, that's all I know. The rest of it's gone. But we use English all the time to navigate French. And I got an A in that. Because I thought I knew some French. French was in me. But hear me. But French has not, hadn't come to me. It hadn't come to me. If I'd have stayed with French at Ball State and gone to the advanced class where you speak French for the whole class, you come in the room, everything in the class is the French language, then French would have come to me by immersion. You follow me? I would be immersed in the language, would learn to even think in that language, and by that way, French would come to me because I would live with it. This is what I'm saying about the example of God's kingdom. That people have the kingdom around and in them, but it hasn't come to them because they've not submitted their will to God. We must submit our will to God. I mean, not just act like it, not just do it sometime, not just do it on Sunday. I mean, we submit our will to God because without submission to his will, his kingdom doesn't come in fullness. You hear me? Now, we're saved. We're in the kingdom. Kingdom's in us. But how many times have we and known Christians who you know, they may be Christians, but they're flaky, they're lightweight, carnal, all the above, because their will is not submitted to God. Therefore, the kingdom hasn't come. So our prayer is, Lord, your kingdom come. And what follows that? Your will be done. You get this? So we want the kingdom to come to us in fullness, not just have it around us or in our minds. Like I said, I had some French in me. And I felt like that's enough. Let me go ahead and think about becoming a French minor. And I was actually, I could not believe they had classes where they only spoke French the whole time. I'm like, that don't make any sense. Where I came from. All the time? All the time. Even say, can I go to the bathroom? Say it in French. Then I found out that some of these schools have, they're like residence halls, you know, for like French major, I mean really, really deep French, Spanish, whoever. They got a whole residence, they all speak French up in the house in there. Or Spanish, whatever it might be. Because they want to be immersed. They want that kingdom, quote unquote, to come to them. And you know how it is, in your professions, it's not just in you and around you. It's come to you. I mean, because of your submittedness, being submitted to what you're about, it's come to you. Amen? Yeah. Elder Owens, you know, works for IPL. We know this. He deal with them megawatts and gigawatts and whatever they call it, energized stuff. And I've never seen him work, but I'll bet you a dollar you can't joke with him while he's messing around with all that power. I bet you a dollar he won't talk about the Pacers, the Lakers, and how he hates Forge. You know what I'm saying? He won't get into that. Okay, he's around too much power, man. When you're around power, you submit yourself to it. You submit yourself to power and authority so the will can be done. Y'all getting this? So when the kingdom comes, you can say, Lord, your will be done in earth, in me, as it is in heaven. Glory to God. And that is part of the objective of the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. I mean, to pray on a regular basis so that we are trained to it. We are trained to submit ourselves to God. We become trained and habituated towards the presence of God to the point where it doesn't seem odd to us to engage in prayer or the things of God. You know, it didn't seem strange or unusual to us. It seems like a part of our life. It's like this is a fabric of our life now, is prayer. And then the kingdom of God, again, we understand that it's one thing to have the kingdom in you and around you. But when the kingdom comes to us, it's because we have submitted ourselves to the will of God. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us on today of principles that many of us here surely already knew. But you've stirred up in us remembrance of these things. You've encouraged us and even revived us, Lord, in some ways. And thank you, Lord, for giving us just a fresh insight into prayer, what it means to pray, what it means, Lord God, to allow you, to allow our will to be submitted to your will. Lord, to understand that your kingdom comes as we submit to your will. Lord, just